The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime World Daily. James Sharman here. We've got Amy Walsh, Craig Forrest, Jimmy Brennan, and Daniel Wungerton. Okay, I think it's going to be a pretty Canadian-heavy show today. Just have a suspicion. In fact, it will be a Canadian-heavy show. If you're coming for some analysis of those other matches, probably the wrong show for you today. How are we supposed to feel right now? I mean, that was as emotional a game as we've seen Canada play for a very long time, maybe ever. I don't know. You guys play for Canada. You tell me. It was the first World Cup win, arguably the biggest win in the men's program's history. But then, of course, you see Ishmael Kone suffer what we think is, well, it's obviously a leg break. We'll find out more today. Is it Tib and a Fib? Jesse Marsh will be speaking to the media this morning at training. About 10 o'clock Pacific time. So obviously I have more information for tomorrow's show. But regardless, we know it's a broken leg. He's out for several months. Craig, how are we supposed to be feeling at the moment? We can celebrate, right? Obviously, but it comes with a solemnness, certainly.
Yeah, it's very strange, isn't it? Because obviously it's a historic night, of course, and they did everything they needed to do to get that done. And then you have the Ishmael Kone situation where you can see that the players are in the same position, you know, like it's a powerful thing though. When you look at, you know, we've seen injuries with this team throughout the year leading into this World Cup, and they rally around each other like nobody else. And that's a powerful thing. Moving forward, they will do that. And that's motivation for the team that's for free. You know, you don't have to, Jesse Marsh doesn't have to pump any of this up. It's going to be natural. And I think they'll do a really good job as far as that side of things. But yeah, fantastic. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I think it was very, very emotional. I mean, we witnessed, you know, the Bosnia game here. We were at that game. And the national anthem, the game, the atmosphere, and everything else. You saw that in Vancouver. It's freaking tangible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I love, by the way, when they do the instrumental version of O Canada, and then the whole stadium just rips it. Mm. It's brilliant. And the atmosphere was, I mean, my God, 53,000 people, all of Vancouver. Jesus, walking around downtown last night.
Yeah.
I mean, we've always discussed, you know, oh, we're a soccer nation, yada, 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 right? And we've always said, nah, we're not there. And from I guess we focus on the money in the game and not in the game. And while we're not really a soccer nation, point we are. Just seeing that again last night, it was unbelievable. Like the number of red shirts, every bar restaurant was packed, was overflowing. There was that feeling of absolute unbridled joy, honestly, which I've never seen before. It was, and it's a country. It's not like it's a team, one team. You know, it's not the Canucks or the Leafs or the Habs, which is brilliant in those cities. It's a country coming together. Now, I don't know what it's like in Saskatoon. I don't know what it's like in Edmonton even. But certainly in Vancouver and Toronto, where they're having these games, that's the feeling, Dubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can't help but think that while we've arrived to a certain extent because you see this unwavering support for this team in the two markets that they've been in Toronto and now in Vancouver, like Canada showed up. And what Jesse Marsh said, he's like, at the end of this tournament, and you know, when people are recounting that game and what it meant to get the men's program's first ever win in a World Cup, he's like, 41 million Canadians are going to claim that they were in the stadium that day. I might even. I'll say that I was the reporter in Vancouver and you were here covering the match. Charms, I'll say that.
Well, I wish I was because I'd be getting more sleep.
That's true. Bright and early for you right now. Well done to you. 5 a.m., right?
5 a.m.
Well done. So
adrenaline.
Yeah. And we can come back to that word for us because that game had that in spades. But I just want to talk about the energy and the love and the joy that you're talking about, Sharms. Just what a shame that the game was marred by something that subdued that joy momentarily. But I think it will be a reference point going forward for this team, as to Forrest's point about this galvanizing force around Ismael Kone, and to show the team and show to show each other that, yes, they care for one another as human beings, as footballers, and this vision that they have, this quest that they're on as part of this World Cup that's would have been talked about. But to, I spoke about it on CBC, and just like Forrest also saying the word tangible, like the emotions were just right there, where like Maxime Crépeau, who missed out on last World Cup because of a leg break himself, a heroic one that allowed his team in LAFC to win the MLS Cup. Tejon Buchanan has been talked about and compared already, his leg break at Copa America. Moise Bembido, who only just went through it. And to see Isma's like childhood friends in Moise and in Nathan Saliba, the guy who replaced him on the pitch, to have an instantaneous response in the best way possible, not violent, not vitriol, not retaliation, but to show up and with your play to smack that ball in the back of the net, to talk your captain out of taking it himself and to say, I'm going to take this and I'm going to score it. And then again, evoking Tejon when Schaaf scored and he went to the corner. I think it was Kyle Larin that brought him the jersey, but like that similar celebration, like, and also the PTSD for everybody, but for this team, like all of the players that I mentioned, and for the team to respond so brilliantly, it was just so lovely to see. And yet this was something that made that joy, which should have been unbridled, it brought it down a little bit. It made it subdued. Because you can just imagine how raucous all those players would have been if those goals, like the goals just kept coming, coming, coming. Like we were talking yesterday, Sharms, you're like 2-0. I'm like, oh, crap, that's my prediction. I'll say 3, but that's asking a lot. They got 6. Like it's insane. So it's just what a shame, but what a response by the team.
Jimmy, I mean, that response, that's a key word, right? And Jesse Marsh spoke about it, how proud he was, how they got their heads back in their game, because I was a bit concerned there. I think we probably all were when you saw the reaction initially of the players. You know, there was heightened emotions, to say the very least. There were tears. Seeing Max Crépeau and Moyes run over to him, knowing that they've just been through the same thing. It's like, oh no, what is going on here? This is not looking good. But to see them just kind of like, you talk about goldfish memories, kind of wipe that away just for, you know, become professional, step up and take full advantage of that advantage, because it was, let's be honest, a huge advantage, two-man advantage. That you can understand why a coach would be so proud of his team and not to lose their heads.
Just want to introduce this feature, which is World Cup Watch Canada, brought to you by Tim Hortons. It's Game On with Tim's.
This hydration break brought to you by...
Oh, my God.
Jade, brought to you by Tim's.
I was going to say, I read a comment, and this goes to Vancouver. And, you know, I understand how the weather keeps fans back and all of the above, but it is a proper football city. You know, we talk about nation. That city comes out and supports its soccer teams, soccer clubs, or anytime it has an opportunity. So shout out to Vancouver.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's Game On at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
I want to mention this. Kylian Mbappe, 2 goals. Erling Haaland, 2 goals. Messi, 3 goals. Jonathan David, 3 goals at this World Cup right now. How nice is that to say Jonathan David up with those guys scoring
goals? It's outstanding. It's so cool.
It is. And maybe we should focus on that, right? We'll obviously talk a lot about Ishmael on this show, but I didn't know where to start this. But you're right, Jimmy. I mean, let's celebrate for a little while here. But, you know, the response from the players, and not just the response, but the response from the talisman, Jonathan David.
Yeah. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. And what a way to answer the critics that were having a pop at him after the first match.
Mm-hmm.
To go out and score a hat trick in a World Cup at home in Vancouver. It was really wonderful to see, just to shut people up.
And yeah, but at the same time, Jimmy, don't you think that, you know, Jonathan David sets his own standards, and we expect so much from him because of that. So the criticism was warranted because...
No, you're right. You're right. You know, I totally agree. So it was warranted.
It was warranted, and the reaction was amazing. Kyle Lahren not starting against Bosnia. Yeah, was he unhappy? Clearly unhappy. But he goes on and you get a reaction from him. And we've seen him play at a level now, an intensity that we hadn't seen him play in the warm-up games or several games beforehand. So good on Jesse Marsh, you know, for even setting that up in a way that it worked perfectly for the team. Everything worked perfectly for the team on the day.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, Forrest. And I think that's what I'm most proud of is, it was warranted. But to have that reaction where you go, okay, no problem. I'm your guy. Bang, 3 goals. Kyle Lahren, I should be starting. Okay, go prove it. Bang, goal. Mm-hmm. You know, so then that's what you want, because sometimes it goes the other way, doesn't it, as players, where they just crumble and whatever, things don't go their way. But these guys just went, nah, we're the big dogs, and we're going to prove why we're the big dogs.
Yeah, because it's always a bit of a gamble, right, Jimmy?
From a
manager's perspective.
Yeah, but you know what? Like I said it last time, that you got a guy that goes, "I want to start. I should be starting. I'm the man." Mm-hmm. And I would have gave him the opportunity. Jesse Marsh did. Said, "Okay, well then go show me why." And he steps up to the plate and scores and puts in a brilliant performance. And same with Jonathan David. Everybody was having a little pop at him because we expected more. And he went out and scored a hat trick. So, I thought they showed who they were, you know, and they stepped up. And I thought it was brilliant. Good for them. And then you're talking about the team, you know, kind of getting together. And, you know, sometimes a situation like that happened with Kone, you know, nobody wants to see that. But as players, that's just another little bit of motivation to say, hey, we're doing this for one of our brothers now, and let's get this over the line. Yeah. And it was almost like they stepped up a gear and went, let's go for it. Mm. And to come out of a World Cup match winning 6-0, it's incredible. I don't think anybody saw that coming. But what it did do, I think it united everybody across this country, and it brought everybody together. And we were fortunate enough that we were at the Canada House last night, and just to see the celebrations and everybody just looking at each other, smiling and just going, I can't believe what we're witnessing right now. These guys did this country so proud. They've taken this program to the next level. And I think you're going to see a lot more Canadian fans, a lot more Canadian young players getting involved in the game. And this is what it takes. It takes this generation, these guys right now, to really elevate this game, and they're doing it. Mm-hmm. They are really doing it.
The most important thing, though, is Sharms, is we can break down a low block now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, geez, I mean, we're bouncing
get that
around
out of here.
Now, we are bouncing around everywhere because there's so much to get to. But yeah, that, I mean, they dismantled the low block. Now, listen, Qatar was friggin' awful. And, you know, being down
Well, hold on. I want to stop you there. They weren't awful. We were just at it. We were on fire, right? And Qatar didn't have really an answer. They couldn't handle our pressure. We were like a duvet on top of them. They were
not very smothered so, them.
Not that they were awful. You know, they were competitive, but we were just too much on the day for them.
Yeah. If I can chime on that, and then I've got to jump. I've got a flight to catch back to Montreal. But yes, it's like we can stop with that narrative versus low blocks. And yet you're going to have to be able to replicate that, you know, versus a similar opponent. But I loved how lively we were. I spoke about it on here, and I thought the three boxes they had to tick was speed of play. The tempo had to be high, whether they were in possession or on the counter press. They did that. The movement had to be incisive in a final third. They had that in spades. There was lovely rotations, interplay, different looks when they got in there where they weren't standing on the ball. Tejan was outstanding. I thought the right side and the way that he interrelated with Alistair Johnston, after what I thought like unimpressive versus Bosnia and Herzegovina, I thought he was remarkable. And the two of them, that partnership was something to behold. So obviously we know the injury to Kone, but before that you sometimes had Kone and JD at the top of the box. And then you had Tejan pulling inside even beyond the half space. Like he was into central channels and it was Alistair providing the width. Other times it was Alistair or Tejan moving inside where JD was. And that allowed JD to get into the box where we need him to be. And like the start of the game was everybody was just on fire. Everybody had a plan. It was purposeful. It was intentional. And it was quality. It was class on the ball, the way that they were moving it, the way that they were touching it. But the most important thing was Jonathan David needed to touch the ball in the 18-yard box. And he did that from the whistle. And so I think like that, obviously with the two red cards, I think like you see a skewing of the stats that you wouldn't normally see, but there's like 51 crosses, like an obscene amount of touches.
97 touches in the opposition box, 97.
That's it. But like Jonathan David, if you look at that first 33 minutes before the Ahmed red card for Qatar. Like if you go back and you look at Jonathan David's stats and the team stats for everything they needed to do in this game was to provide menace and quality service from the wings, get Jonathan David further up the pitch and be freaking ruthless. They did it all. And then they just kind of, they kept at it. They kept their foot on the accelerator. And the last thing I'll say is, yeah, you only need a draw going in against Switzerland, but don't take your foot off the gas. Mm-hmm. Don't play for a draw.
Well, nothing to
go
lose.
Whole hog.
Nothing to lose.
I don't know if they know how
go
to
go for the win. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta go.
See you guys. Safe travels. But yeah, Craig, I mean, that's how they play, right? They're not, I mean, that they've shown composure in the past. Not really a composed, you know, sit back, composed team. They go for it. Put your foot on the throat. Right. Mm-hmm. From the off. And we saw that yesterday. We at their best, their biggest games, that's what they do. Foot on the throat and destroy teams.
We saw it at Copa America, right?
Yes.
The same type of play. And the great thing is that even with the injuries and the players coming in, they've stepped up their game. Like they've filled those holes and those gaps and those injuries brilliantly well so far in this World Cup. So it shows that we do have some depth because everybody seems to be stepping up when they need to. And you could say, I mean, there's going to be an argument, hey, it's Qatar. Like, I mean, let's face it. There's a 32-team World Cup. They're probably not in it. But at the same time, you look at this World Cup, there's a number of results along the board where teams have struggled to score against teams like this, and they end up with a draw. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was concerned about, right?
Switzerland?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know? Good example. Yeah, how does Switzerland not get a result against them? You know.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a great point. And listen, yeah, okay, it's Qatar. We're Canada. It's not like we're France or Portugal. So if anyone wants to say, and there will be people criticizing and making fun. Oh yeah, you go because they're getting a little bit jealous of our moment. But we're bloody Canada. We hardly have a rich, storied history of these matches. It's our first World Cup win ever. I didn't give a damn who it was against. And just the narrative around it now. Listen, I mean, hey, Jimmy, 2012, when the women's team had that incredible Olympic run for the bronze medal and the match against the States, which they lost, and of course, the 6 minute, all that nonsense, that drama, right? In defeat, that was such an important and pivotal moment for the game in this country. and for that program in particular, because of the number of people who paid attention and suddenly began watching soccer, even though they lost the match and there was a negativity and a dark cloud over that match. It was so important. I look at this game kind of in a similar way. Obviously, it's a horrible thing to have to see, and for the team itself moving forward, it's an enormous loss. But there's going to be a lot of people waking up this morning who wouldn't ordinarily have maybe even watched that game or followed that game. But I imagine it was front and center in all the newscasts. I didn't see any, but I'm assuming it was. And part of the reason was that adversity, once again, Canadian soccer has had to face and has come through with.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody tuned into that game yesterday. And the thing was, perfect time as well, 6 o'clock, everybody's home, tuned in. And I know a lot of the soccer teams in the GTA that all had training sessions, had games, everything was canceled. And I know this because my son's practice got canceled so that they could all watch the games. So everybody that's involved in the game at some capacity were tuned in. People that were in the local pubs just going out for a social ended up having to watch the match because it would have been on the TVs. This game, I would love to know the ratings and how many people actually tuned in, because I think
it'd be a record.
It would be a record.
Yeah, 100%. We'll hear it later on today for sure.
Yeah, 100% it will be. But I think you're going to get a lot of people now that will be supporting this team, jumping on the bandwagon, becoming soccer fans, because they are Canada's darlings at the moment, these guys. And I think you thought these ratings were big for this match. Imagine Switzerland now, because everybody's going to be tuning in and watching this.
Yeah. For first place in the group, which was, in fairness, Jesse Marsh has said that for months. Our goal is to win the group, not just get out, win the group, right? And a lot of people Jesse, but here we are.
I did say we were going to get 7 points.
Yeah.
Said it from the beginning. We're getting 7 points in this group. All right. One win away from it.
Just the one win, rub it in
everybody's face.
Yeah. And even more when Craig and I were hanging out last weekend, he said, this game doesn't matter. We're going to win this thing. And it was funny because Jimmy and Craig were not on the podcast where we, Sharms, Dubs and I started doing the, hey, this is a good thing. This draw between Switzerland and Qatar, because now we were worried about another draw, correct? We were worried about, hey, how do we play through the, if you win, you don't have to worry about all the permutations. You literally just have to win, and you have your spot in the 32. You're hosting a game, I think, in the 32 if they win the group.
Would, yeah.
And, man, all of a sudden you're looking at 16 if you have that crowd backing and a performance
You win it. You win it, you play a third-place team, right? And you stay in Vancouver, and you have 7 days off, seven-day break.
Seven days.
This team needs, as opposed to three.
Jimmy and Craig would be in Mallorca for 2 days each and then fly back.
Oh, definitely.
Flip-flops.
The manager said, take a day off, guys. We would have been
I'm out of here. I'm coming back on a camel.
By the way, just as an aside, you guys sent a picture on socials of the two of you with Holger Osiek at Canada House yesterday. I was so happy to see that picture. It's before the Ishmael incident. And I was just I was beaming because I loved Holger. You guys loved Holger, obviously. And he looks amazing. He looks better than he did 20 years ago.
He's still still giving me shit as well.
Was he? That's hilarious. He was.
It was brilliant. It was a complete surprise. We had no idea. And there's an area, a VIP area, that we managed to sneak into. And all of a sudden, Holger walks up to us. I haven't seen the man for 25 years. Like, amazing. It was so touching. It was freaking amazing. Like, the whole day, like, the whole evening, and with Canada and Holger, and he's our lucky charm, I'm telling you. That guy is, like, it was special. Emotional.
Okay, we got to think about the last time you saw him, almost pre-internet, no social media. Right?
Yeah.
Cell phones, barely cell phones in 2000, 2001, right? Like, you needed to have money because those cell phone plans and the phone would cost you $700 a month, as much as a car, right? Like, yeah. The world has changed since you've seen Holger.
The phones were the size of a car.
That's it. Yeah. And you were both, you know, incredible specimens too back then. And now look at you. Like, times do change, you know, dramatically. Wow. Yeah. That was really cool. Well, Wonga, you were just saying off air there how impressed you were with Vancouver and what you saw just through the screens and how that's always been a great...
Oh, no, we're going to keep that. So, yeah, we'll refer to...
Oh, you're keeping that in? Are we? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, the edit room, eh? All right.
Yeah, the edit suite. That's what we're going to call it. The suite edit.
Did you guys see Mark Carney's speech post-match? Have you got a chance? It was really good. It was really good. And it's obviously a very somber room. And people that were in there were saying, yeah, you know, obviously the players are there and they applauded and they did. But it was a very, very quiet room. But I thought what he said was very, very well said. And he rings true.
You know with him is that he, I don't know who his people are working with him, but they're brilliant. Because when he's talking about the team and he's talking about the moment, he's talking about individuals and where they play and Brampton and all these different things. And I went to Brampton, we're opening up a pitch in Brampton, and all these things. And he knew so much about them. And I found that when we saw him in Washington, did we tell you we were down there for the draw? I don't know.
Oh, you were? Well, you were, but just you though, wasn't it? It was no one else.
Yeah. And when we bumped into him, like he actually, I think he knew or somebody knew we were going to be there. So he knew some information on us and myself. And it was like, wow, like that's pretty cool. Like I like that. It's not just random. It's not just a generic chat about rah, rah, rah. He actually specifically knew the names and where they came from and their backgrounds. And I thought that was pretty special.
We talk about galvanizing teams, right? And they spoke about that when Tejon broke his leg at Copa America, which is in training, but apparently a very similar incident. But galvanizing teams, does that actually happen, Jimmy? Or is that what the stuff of movies and fairy tales? Can you really rally behind an injury like that for the remainder of a tournament?
Well, you can, because you know when you go into these tournaments, it's you share a close bond, and you know that you got the country on your shoulders, and everybody's rowing in the same direction. Everybody wants success, and when you see one of your guys go down, it does. It kind of, you think, okay, yeah, we're doing it for the country, but at the end of the day, we're doing it for us. We're doing it for each other. We're in this as a team. And when somebody does go down like that, yeah, it kind of, you look at one another and say, like I said before, let's get this over the line. Let's get together here. You know, we're doing it for our guy that can't share this moment with us. So yeah, it does bring it together, and it's a different kind of emotion when something like that happens, because you got to remember, like the players and that group, you're in a little bubble, you're in it together, right? And you forget about the outside noise and everything that's going on. You know, even with like Jonathan David, and everybody's giving him a bit of stick after the first game. You know, if I'm sitting there, I'll be looking at him saying, "Hey, forget about all this. Let's do this. You're good enough. You're the best." And you know, you tend to be in a different realm, so to speak, where you just want to get together and do it for one another. Because at the end of the day, you know, those are the moments you get to cherish. And like, for instance, when we won the Gold Cup, and I look at Forest now, and nobody really understands what we went through and how we did it. But we were in that locker room together looking at one another going, hey, we're going to make history here. And that's what these guys are doing behind the scenes. And like I said, when one guy goes down, you push even harder, because that guy can't cherish that moment that you're about to experience.
John David had a great comment post-match, because he was asked about, I think Faisal asked him, you know, about what's the last week, how he's felt. And all he said was, this is basically, I'm paraphrasing, but this is just life as being a striker. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're judged on goals. Simple as that. No one cares about any defensive work you're doing. No one cares about the kilometers you're covering in that midfield when you're dropping deep. No one cares. It's about goals, right? And he gets that. So yeah, as Jimmy said before, we're so happy that he scored the three goals. I wonder if Kyle Larin Craig, at some point, we'll have to stop doing this ear thing because no one's complaining about him now. No one's whining. Everyone's loving Phil Larin. Yeah, he should be like, bring it on, bring it on. He should be, doing, well, he should be like fanning his ears. Like, yeah, come on, give me some more.
Yeah, he's got to go to this. He's got to go to this one now.
He's got to cup his ears. Yes. Okay, so I know, like I said before, we're bouncing everywhere, but I think it was a chaotic match, and there's a chaotic podcast today, which is kind of fitting. Craig, back to the Coney incident, though. The actual foul itself, and Jesse said post-match, you know, he didn't think it was malicious. It was really a weird one, especially to cause that kind of damage, that sweeping motion, and he kind of, I guess may have put him off balance somewhat initially, and then came through the sweep, but to see an injury of that severity under that kind of challenge, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
No. I mean, if you look really closely at it, it looks as though there was a first initial contact where his leg looked as though it was trapped a little bit. So studs, a little bit of pressure from the Qatari player. And then the sweeping motion, his leg was already broken at that stage.
You think so?
In my opinion, it's very, very difficult to tell. But it doesn't look. The reaction, that we see, it's right in front of the bench. It wasn't like Canada jumped up, you know, when there's a really bad challenge and everybody jumps up and like is in the referee's face. That didn't happen. Qatari guy runs away. Kone looks at his leg. He's as surprised as anybody else of what actually happened. And then there's another player, Qatari player comes over and he puts his hands over on his head, like, what is going on? And then that's when everybody sort of realized. And then you could actually tell Crepo, Max Crepo, he was on there like a shot. Like I think he picked up on it quickly. And that was the first time I saw Max. I forgot he was playing.
It's a much digital game.
Yeah. I don't even think Max.
He comes to the national team for a break.
Yeah. I don't even think Max played with his gloves on, did he?
No, I was actually looking, at stats, and he's had more shots in the last two games for Orlando than he has done in the last seven games for our national team.
Really? Now, is that a statement on Canada or a statement on Orlando?
Probably both, but I mean, he's had more work in the last half a season for Orlando than goalkeepers have in 5 years if you're playing.
That's why he's well prepared.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's faced it all just this season, right?
Yeah. There was that
chance. Well, I had a bet with BetMGM, and my bet was 10 or more shots on target. They got it. Over 10 and a half corners. They definitely got it. Over 3.5 cards. They got it. Qatar goalkeeper to make 4 or more saves. Absolutely got it. 3.5, over 3.5 goals. Got it. What I didn't get was that Max would make one save.
Oh,
wow. He didn't make one save. And I would have won like $170 on $5.
Oh,
no.
Way to defend Canada. Ruin JC's bet.
Yeah. Right. Also, I have some numbers if we want to know some TV numbers.
Mm. Yeah.
So last night, and this is so the unique viewers numbers are not in, and I believe that's with digital stuff, but with traditional television viewing, it was 3.1 million was the average viewership, which is a 70% increase from 2022. And it's over 600,000 more people watched the game yesterday than watched the Stanley Cup final game 6.
Oh, well.
So there you go.
It makes me very happy, but I'd hope so. Vegas against Carolina.
Yeah.
If it didn't, then what's the point? Jesus, just give up. But that's
also game one was unique viewers was 8.6 million in Canada that watched that.
We're going double figures for this one, aren't we?
This thing's it'll a be close with the because as JC said, I have the TSN app, and that is added to this. So you don't know what the full tally is until they aggregate all the different social numbers, like the viewing platform numbers. So right now, that makes sense. That number.
There's a measurement.
Can they calculate, or guess? I guess it's an estimate of all the fan zones, like, because they're all over the place, and it was
they do at the point. This is the thing, they do that. It's they put everything together and they'll go, hey, this is how many people watched here. Or this is how many people watched there. Sharms has the beautiful sun of Vancouver shining right into his eyeballs.
It's killing me, this damn sun. It's just peeked over the hilltop.
Right.
And now it's killing me. One second.
Terrible Vancouver weather.
Is there now a level that Canada has reached after this match, Jimmy and Craig, that we now know they can play this way? They know that they can play this way. What is their preparation looking like? And I was going to talk about, I was going to ask also, or at least mention, that our preparation for these matches in the World Cup has improved. You know, playing Cote d'Ivoire last summer, Uzbekistan, there's all these teams that are actually in the World Cup where 10 years ago, we could barely find a game against, you know, in Iceland, and we played them too. But my point is, our confederation, and maybe this goes to Blue and Marsh and Agrusso and whoever's part of the planning of bringing this together, their preparation improved this year to get us into this spot. You know, because there are teams, we couldn't get matches back in the day.
No, that's true. But at the same time, with the World Cup being in North America, teams were more willing to put their feet on the ground in North America to, you know, for testing and for, you know, playing in that time zone, all these different things. It was much easier, of course,
right?
This for preparation and getting teams that want to play here, like Tunisia last year, Cote d'Ivoire, Ukraine, you know,
New Zealand, different, Australia. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, New Zealand. So different profile teams. And yeah, the preparation was really good, but it was sort of stalled by all the injuries, obviously, that we saw throughout the year. I mean, everybody's talking about this team now, but we've been following it and the injuries have been just piling up to the point where that was what a little bit of a concern for us was, as far as them potentially winning in this group, that might not happen, but it's changed, and we're sitting in a pretty good spot. But Switzerland is going to be the first really big test for Canada.
That's a great irony of this one, right? We see Moise Bembido after all this time. You know, I know he played some minutes in the exhibition match, but Moise Bembido finally get back on the pitch after his broken leg at halftime for DC, who I'm assuming it's supposed to be the yellow card. I know he picked a bit of a knock, but I'm not sure whether that. I think it's probably the yellow card. We'll find out more today. But he gets on the pitch, and then, of course, what happened to Ismaël Koné? The great irony of this sport, because that is a big story. We didn't get to see Alphonso Davies in the end, which is probably for the best. Give him an extra week now or so. I think it's Wednesday, the next match, to recover. But things are coming back now. They're getting a little bit, Ismaël Koné aside, they're getting a little bit healthier as they build into the tournament. And Jimmy, you know, people did criticize Canada soccer for not getting that big match against a big team, you know, in the send-off. We got Uzbekistan and Ireland. Turns out it's pretty good preparation. Teams that Uzbekistan play similarly to Qatar, for example. That's why they did it. Ireland's a European team, you know. You got Switzerland in the group. So I thought actually in the end, despite some people criticizing them, they probably got it right. They've got out the group. You can't speak badly about them at all.
No, what can you say? I mean, you talk about the preparation. People obviously questioned it, and they got out of group. So was the preparation good? Yeah, something was right, wasn't it?
Apparently.
Right? Yep. So, look, you know, it's difficult because sometimes, too, in preparation, you want certain teams. You can't get them. You get teams that are available, whoever's ready to play, who can travel. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, but I think everything in every team that they got was pretty much calculated. You know, Jesse said it with Uzbekistan, the way that they played, it was a certain style that kind of emulated a bit of Bosnia and a little bit of Switzerland and Ireland as well, a European side that will prepare them for the games against Switzerland and obviously Bosnia. So yeah, look, it was good preparation. It's obviously paid off and worked, and they got what they wanted out of it. And every time you play these games, there's certain objectives that you're trying to meet, and you know, they met their objectives. So I'm delighted. I'm still smiling. I woke up this morning smiling. Obviously, There was a little bit of smile. I get to see you guys. Well, not really, but it was a smile.
Yeah,
it's pretty a smile because of the results. I was thinking, why the hell are we doing a pod so early?
That's but, but she's only here for 10 minutes. I mean, wow, if I knew
I know. That's typical her, isn't it? Like, everybody get up. Everybody get up. And then she's here for 10 minutes. Really, we could have done this at 11 o'clock and had a good sleep this morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's easier getting up, though, when you have a result, right?
Yeah, imagine if they'd lost or drawn. Oh, my God. Go talk about. That's why there's a relief, right? There's a weird sense of relief.
Yes.
Because all for the last, how many years now? For the last, since the draw especially, right? But even prior to that, but since the draw, we said, Canada's, it's a tough group, a challenging group, but Canada should get out of it. But there's then all the injuries and this baked in excuses. If it goes wrong, well, you can make these excuses. Now that they've, just for us, from a selfish standpoint, as fans, thank Christ. Oh, thank God. No matter what happens against Switzerland, it doesn't really matter. If you look at the big picture here, thank God we got to all the haters who are just sitting there sharpening their knives. They can all piss off now, can't they?
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's that many.
No, there's not. But they're out there, though. There's some out there who are waiting for it.
Yeah, they don't want to see us fail. Not in Canada, but.
Yeah.
There's the contingent growing south of the border who want to see Jesse Marsh fail.
Yeah.
That much.
I don't know if it's just south of the border, Sharms. I shared a link this morning.
Oh, that's Leeds-based, wasn't it?
Yeah, Leeds-based, but it's Alan Colley from Colley's Call. And I think he's Irish, but it's a Leeds podcast. And he went in on Jesse Marsh. Do yourself a favor. We'll share it later. But he goes on Jesse Marsh and just says, performative. They don't need this. It's all about him. It was very like a big takedown of Jesse. And I'm like, he's wrong. Alan, just so you know, he's wrong. Canada needs as much enthusiasm, as much promotion, as much over the top. It doesn't matter if it's wrestling based. It can be anything to get people. He doesn't know how little a football nation we are how we want to grow this. And so, Alan, you know, it's a hot take. You may or may not like his performative nature. Maybe you don't like him, but you're just wrong, Alan Colley. So yeah. I'll call you out. I tell you right now, this is what our country needs, because the pockets, as I said before, Vancouver is a proper football city. Canada has not come to that level yet. To be called a soccer nation or a football nation. We need as much pumping of the tires across the nation, across the country as possible.
You shut your mouth, Alan.
It's so true, though, right? I mean, the big picture, yes, Canada needs personalities, because this team hasn't got big personalities on it. It just doesn't, right?
No, thoughtful.
That's not to say they're not good interviews, because, I mean, Alistair's brilliant. Tanny's really good, actually. Obviously, Ishmael's a fantastic interview.
Promise.
But they're not Lao big characters.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Promise.
Yeah, right. He'd be the one, right? The only one that's got, you'd say, a really larger-than-life personality, publicly anyway. Maybe behind the scenes as other guys. But Canada, in this little sport of ours, in this country of ours, in the enormous shadow of this other sport that a tiny percentage of people can afford to play, needs big personalities, and Jesse provides that. And can he be performative? Of course he can, but I don't care. I love seeing him on the sidelines going freaking epileptic. Epileptic. Apocalyptic?
No.
Apoplectic.
Apoplectic.
Epileptic.
Epileptic. Epileptic works too.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, right? Not really.
I can say that because I am an epileptic.
It works to use your curtains.
I can make fun of it.
That's why you could say apoplectic. What was the word you ended up?
Apoplectic. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's apoplectic. No one can do it.
Epileptic works as good as your curtains that you drew.
Yeah, he does. You're blinding me right now.
Let me just go draw these curtains.
Jesus Christ.
Did nothing.
I'm just taking the vitamin D through the window if that's possible.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible, actually.
Yeah.
Do we want to hear the definition of apoplectic?
Yes.
Apoplectic is an adjective that describes someone who is extremely enraged, furious, or on the verge of emotional outburst.
Hmm. That's a good word.
That's Jesse.
Well done.
On the sidelines.
Yeah. He is. Yes. Emotional outburst.
There's a look he showed when Ishmael broke his leg and he went over to him and he came back and the look, he kind of turned away quickly and just I think it kind of threw his hands to the ground almost. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Jesse Marsh look so defeated in that moment. He's like, are you, basically, as much as he had obviously grave concern for the player, he's like, are you effing kidding me? Mm. Really?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. It was like his whole body just sort of like just relaxed. It was just like, even his little pot belly stuck out.
Mm. Has he got a pot belly? He was pretty fit to me.
Oh, no, he is fit. But it was just like, you know, at the bar, at the beach.
Well, I see your shoulders get slumped. Everyone's got a little pot when the shoulders slump right and the whole body relaxes. That little, exactly. Little pot, you know? Yeah.
The Qatari player, I read that the Qatari player went into the Canadian national men's locker room and apologized. And going back to what Craig was saying, it's great that he did. I'm sure he felt horrible after finding out what the outcome was, but it was by far not a malicious, malicious move. And it was a soccer play or a football play.
Yeah.
And, you know, timing as we were on the dark web, our WhatsApp group, and Craig and I were just going, it looked like pressure based, you know, he's making his move on that leg and all the pressure is on that one part of his body. And the guy just came across, and that was it, right? And his foot stuck a little.
Storm,
right? The perfect awful storm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Qatar is not a nasty side. They're not they never have been, and it's just unfortunate for them, really, for him, because it that's not an easy thing to deal with, as well as getting stuck 6-0.
It got chippy towards the end, right? And after the whistle. As a coming together, but you understand why that was highly emotional and for the Canadian players. I mean, you guys can tell me, but we've all played sports when someone's been wronged and you want to get at that team, no matter if it's malicious or not, you want to get at them and get some retribution for your boy, don't you?
Yeah.
That being said, let me ask you this, playing devil's advocate, and I know this is what Julen Lopetegui thought, and this is why Jesse Marsh had no time for Lopetegui post-match, but he said, listen, that wasn't a red card. If that wasn't a leg break, if Ishmael just got back up and he's fine, is that a red card?
No.
It's not even a yellow.
No, you're right. Not even a yellow.
No. It's just a freak accident. Freak accident. You know, and the thing is, too, when the players look back and if they watch the replay, they'll be like, man, that's the freakiest thing I've ever seen. Like, how did that even happen?
Yeah, how did that happen?
Yeah.
But when you throw a leg break into the mix, it is a red card. It's just what happens. Is it not? Was Qatar wronged here? I mean, there's going to be a lot of conversation about this today.
Yeah.
And people are going to be hammered for even suggesting that it wasn't a red card. But we have to discuss it.
You know, the the challenge on Tejon, that's a weak foul. Yeah,
that was weak.
He made the most of it. He made the most of it.
He barely got touched. Interesting how they give a yellow card and a penalty, and then they do a review and they outside the box. Now, all of a sudden, it's a red card.
I don't like that. I didn't like that call at all. I didn't like the escalation to a red. Because it was outside the box, and I had to watch a referee. There's a site that breaks down the rules. So a referee actually said, this is why it got elevated to a red, and it was because it was outside the box and it was a scoring opportunity. But I also thought, well, why a red though? Why not just a yellow and a free kick? Or, you know, like last that makes sense to me. Pardon me?
Last man back, right?
Oh, it's because of last man back.
Yeah, he's stopping a goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're in the box, a triple jeopardy thing kicks in. So it's a yellow card penalty. As opposed to outside the box, goal scoring opportunity stopped. It now becomes a red card. Now, if they do a review on the foul itself, It's then, is that clear and obvious? Are they going to undermine the referee at that point? No, they're not.
Right. But
that's where I have a problem. I mean, just from a neutral's point of view, that if that was against Jimmy running back doing that and I'm in goal, I'd be like, what? That is so soft. Like, so soft.
Well, and that's like, I saw the VAR review, the referee in this walking goes, look, he clipped him. Yes, he clipped him. So it's maybe the rule that needs to be changed a little bit. I mean, he did embellish.
He embellished it. He did great.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
I've never been happier seeing someone dive.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, this is it. When it goes your way, but if that was
right,
Switzerland, we're like, what's going on here?
Yeah. That's what I mean, Forrest. We actually said that, didn't we? We were just like, if that was against us, we'd be losing our minds. But because it wasn't, we were like, this is brilliant.
Yeah. Well, about time that Canada got a call in one of these games, right? Let's be honest. And listen, it was 2-0 at that point. They were going to score a whack of goals anyway. I'm sure of it. And yes, you know, going up two men for whatever, you know, obviously you'd rather not and keep Coney on the pitch. But going up two men, it gave an opportunity for the gates to open. But they were destroying Qatar before the cards destroyed them.
They didn't even put one man up top, because generally you're down a man, even two, you got to try to get out, and you have to have somebody up top to be able to do that. They didn't. They had all nine players in the box, and then they lose another man, and now they got all eight players in the box. Like they didn't. The entire team for Qatar were in the 18-yard box for the last 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Took a sitting deep. Great practice, right, for Canada. Like we discussed, great practice. Had to break down deep blocks.
It was. It was like 35 minutes of free training.
Too bad that Switzerland won't have nine men on the field, unfortunately.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a different game. That's for sure.
It will be a different game. But what
Natan Saliba comes on, right? Natan Saliba comes on, wow. Jimmy. Different player to Kone.
Poetic.
Amazing impact and very close to two Montreal boys. Very close. Mm-hmm. Great free kick. And when he lifted the shirt, I mean, I don't think there were too many dry eyes in the place when that thing went up. It was amazing.
It was theater. Absolute theater. It's the best reality TV show ever.
Yeah.
That's why sports is the original reality TV. Mm-hmm. Like it's just the whole storyline going in, the game, the match, the injury, the reaction, the shirt thing. It was just incredible, the whole thing.
Yeah. Football bloody hell, right? Isn't that? That's Alex Ferguson once said, football bloody hell. The drama. Yeah. And the theater is a perfect word for it because that's precisely what it was. But in comes Saliba. They got, if there's a position in the field where they have some pretty good depth, it is central midfield. Saliba, Ozo, of course, Schreiner. What do you think against Switzerland, Jimmy? Is Saliba going to be just, you know, not like for like, but you slip him into kind of spot?
Yeah, I think Saliba will be the man at the moment now. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the first one off the bench, which shows that Jesse trusts him. He knows what he's going to get from Saliba. And obviously Saliba coming on, scoring a goal. And we've talked about this many a time. We all like Saliba. We like the way that he plays. You know, he can go do that box to box. He's got that aggressive side to him. He can play. So it's this is his chance now to shine and take that starting spot.
Ali was very good getting in there. I mentioned he'll retain the spot, and it's great to see Schaff come on and score.
Yeah,
massive deflection, but I don't care. It was
it was almost going in, though. I don't know if it did. You
I thought
that?
It was an own goal at first, right? Initially, I thought own goal for sure, but they
right.
Yeah. I think it was going in.
It looked like it was going in. Can I ask you guys? It's going to be difficult. A difficult question. You three, man of the match. Who was your man of the match?
Well, Greg, it's got to be Jonathan David.
Oh,
Jonathan David getting three goals in a World Cup. Oh, it has to be.
Say that again, Jimmy. Just it does sound nice. Say it again.
Jonathan David, three goals in the 2026 World Cup.
Oh, yeah. So even great. Southampton posted on social media, Kyle Lair, most goals by a Southampton player at a World Cup.
That's brilliant.
Really? I guess Letizia never really got much England love, did he?
No. Wasn't scoring goals like that for sure.
No.
What a player Letizia was, of course.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah,
superb. Did you? I'm not sure if it came across in the TV broadcast, Wonger, but did you see Sinky in the box?
I did.
With a glass of wine, was, and she had no idea that way. Everyone, it was the funniest thing.
But someone tell us.
Someone's got to tell us.
Yeah, like literally tell me, like, if I'm at some place, yes, I have to be on my best behavior. But what if I'm like picking my nose really quickly? Or I'm, you know, like give this person an opportunity. Like someone just smelled a fart or something. They're like, what's going on?
Well, you know what's great? Well, and why I love this. So she, the first shot, if you didn't see it, she's sitting there in a box. Someone passes her a huge goblet of white wine.
Right.
And she's like, she takes it like, oh, and takes it. And she's holding it there. And then the crowd go nuts because it's syncing on the screen. But she obviously hasn't got a monitor in front of her. She has no idea why. And she's got this perplexed look like, what's happening? Looking at the pitch, something happening on the pitch. And she looks so confused, right? And then they hold the shot. They give her a chance to kind of someone to tell, hey, Sinky, you're on camera. No one does. And she's like perplexed and confused. And then they cut away. And then they go back to her a little bit later. And she's got a bottle of water.
Yeah.
She's drinking. And she still has no idea she's on camera.
But it also
one of my favorite moments I've ever seen with Canadian soccer.
We also know that she has a reticence to be on camera. Like it's got to be a controlled environment. And they were just tackling her with camera shots left and right.
Typical though, right? For the women's team hijacking the men's moment.
Oh yeah, now you're gonna. Here you go. Here you go.
that's what Dubs, if she's listening.
Dubs exit. So she. That's a great play, actually. She can't fight back.
I can't get hammered for that. No,
she'll be in that. She'll be in the comment section herself. I can't believe you said that, Charms. What kind of person are you?
All right. So, what do you want us to ask Jesse today when he has the availability?
Wow. What's he going to answer, you know?
Well, I wonder what, because it was somber Jesse last night. Compare that to like a week ago, and it was the jovial Jesse. What Jesse are we going to get today? I think we get someone right in the middle, because you got to start moving forward, right? He'll comment on Ishmael.
Yeah.
And as a sports team, you guys tell me this, you know, you see your brothers get hurt all the time. But you have to start. You got to move forward. You can't dwell on that moment. You have to start in a World Cup, especially. Mm. You have to focus on that, don't you? The next game, not that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, the next day though. Easy, like, but at the same time, inspiring. It's inspiring too, you know.
And here's the thing: what we saw that picture. I don't know. I shared it on the dark web, but Moise Bombido visiting Ishmael Kone in the hospital. The break that we saw, like even the way Ishmael was smiling, and it's a break. It looked like a break. That's going to heal. You have to move on immediately. Like these guys will be once again focused on what's coming next. And that's, you know, a Switzerland side that looked good against Bosnia and Herzegovina, right? They looked great.
Yeah. Yeah. It does happen all the time. And you do have to move on from it. It's just part and parcel of the game. But they can use it as a positive, generate that tightness in the group if they need it anymore. You know,
can I play the this is what's going to happen. Jesse, what did you say to the players? Well, that's between me and the players. It was a solemn moment. We had to come back together as a team. So there you go. There's your answer. You can cut that. Probably is the question. What did you say? And it's going to be from someone who doesn't follow football as much. So you'll be, Sharms might be there irritated. Sharms will be irritated in the background. I'm just laying out the picture, right? And all the soccer guys who follow go, oh, I can't believe that Canada Press guy who's like, or that CBC guy just asking this question. That's how I see this all working out.
I agree. I think that will happen. It'll be like, so what does this mean? Like, you know, kind of like what does it mean to have a home World Cup now? It's like, what does it mean to actually get through to the knockout stages? And, okay.
Yeah, I know precisely. There are some crap questions that have to be asked, but just ask it once. That's good enough. But what does it mean to play a huge game in Vancouver where your family's from and visiting? And there'll be those questions, which are really boring. But you got to ask them sometimes to a certain point. I mean, listen, they got to move on. We don't have to move on. We can dwell on this for a little bit longer, I think. we can milk some more content from this. But listen, bottom line is they lose probably their best midfielder. Certainly, there's no one else like Ismail Kone on that team from a creativity standpoint, certainly. And a player
Charms, that you've been really good so far. Are you enjoying your time as we wrap? Are you enjoying your time in Vancouver? Is this like a once in a lifetime?
Well, yeah, it is once in a lifetime. It's a home World Cup. Yeah. What a great city Vancouver is. Had sushi twice now. And my God, they do sushi and they do it right. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And you know what? The weather is perfect. It's not hot.
Oh my
it's
God.
It's not humid. Canada's looking to play, it's perfect.
Wonga promised me dreary gray skies and rain, but no.
I didn't promise. I just know what the weather's like out there.
No, this week it hasn't been. It's been perfect. All right, listen, we're out of time. If you want, like I mentioned, to hear about the other matches, too bad.
Yeah.
We had a celebration Monday show.
And
also starting to mourn at the same time. So, you know, what an incredible, emotional 2 hours that was yesterday. We'll never forget that. And Switzerland is next week. We're out of time. Thanks so much, everyone. Make sure you follow us, like, and subscribe. Cheers very much for listening.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter at @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Great show, guys. That was great.
Thanks, everybody.